All right, we're doing a new theme today. Got Joe Bartle doing fantasy football at RotoWire. You know, a lot of people listening to Halftime, Morning Rush, they play fantasy football. And John, Tommy, me, Phil, we don't know a lot about fantasy football. We like it, but we don't know a lot about it. And that's why we brought in Joe from RotoWire to discuss all things fantasy football. Joe, first and foremost, thanks for the time, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to be on. I'm happy to talk fantasy football. This is one of the best times of the year, and I say that, of course, because I'm working in a fantasy sports company, but it really is true. Football starting up, we get all these fantasy drafts going on, and it's just a lot of fun to be involved in the atmosphere of everything.
So let's start out with the league you participate in, or leagues. I don't know if you're a one-league guy. I don't know if you participate in a lot of leagues. Initially, when I started playing, I was at one or two leagues. Then I got to three. Then I just decided I really wanted to focus on one league. How do you go about that, and how many leagues are you in?
Well, I envy you a little bit. I actually have 5 drafts alone next week, and
wow.
I will be in upwards of 10-plus drafts by the end of fantasy draft season. That does not count best balls. It doesn't count any dynasty or stuff like that. Those are separate, in my opinion, and they have to be for me to be able to compartmentalize all these different leagues. But yeah, I'm in a lot of them, and it's part of the industry, part of the business a little bit, but I also really just appreciate and enjoy playing in fantasy. So yeah, get me in as many of those as I can. It's pretty easy, at least when I put together a spreadsheet, but anytime you actually have to put together a spreadsheet of all the different teams you have and all the different places, it probably becomes a little bit more crazy than most people are accustomed to.
So regionally here in Fort Smith, Harrison, and Hot Springs, and then just all across Arkansas, there's probably 2 teams that stand out. That's the Dallas Cowboys, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's get it going with a couple of those guys. What do you think Dak Prescott is as a draftable quarterback this upcoming fantasy season?
Yeah, I heard Dak Prescott as part of that contract negotiation also wanted the Cowboys to reacquire Felix Jones. That's a joke. I don't think it actually happened, but that'd be pretty interesting if it did. It's interesting. When it comes to the quarterback position, I feel like I say this every year when I do any of these hits or any of the podcasts or SiriusXM stuff that I do, it's always the deepest it's ever been. And I think, again, it's fair to say that the quarterback position is deep once more, to the point where a guy like Dak Prescott, who has a pretty safe rushing floor and you can kind of count on each and every week, at least to provide rushing totals, much less passing totals, is still going to be a quarterback that's maybe acquired in rounds 10 or above, at least in a 10 or 12 team league. But that's just how deep this position is overall now. He certainly has a chance to improve and could be a top 10 fantasy quarterback at the end of the season. But it's just where you're looking at Kyler Murray or Drew Brees or Jared Goff. These are all quarterbacks that are still also going outside the top 10 where they're being currently drafted. The deep part of quarterback fantasy is really dependent on the scoring system, though. So like if you have a Patrick Mahomes, and I'm sure we'll talk about him later when we get to the Chiefs part of it as well, in the 6-point touchdown per league, it makes a lot of sense to get him as early as you do. But for the most part, when people are playing fantasy, it's a standard format where you're just getting 4 points per passing touchdown. And if that's the case, it even evens out the floor for the quarterback position overall even more, making a guy like Dak Prescott, who maybe doesn't throw as many touchdowns as you would hope when you're looking for a fantasy QB, even less desirable compared to a Tom Brady or Ben Roethlisberger or something like that.
His numbers definitely went up with the addition of Amari Cooper last year. What do you think about Amari's ceiling?
Yeah, I like Amari Cooper quite a bit. He's currently ranked number 14 overall for our receivers. He's getting drafted around the 3rd round in 10 or 12 team formats. That's probably a good spot for me overall. I need to see how his injury situation develops a little bit. Anytime that you're missing an extended week of practice, especially in weeks 2, 3, 4 of the preseason, I get a little bit concerned. I don't know if it's just what seems to be what all Cubs are doing right now, and it's more of a contract negotiation thing, but the fact that he's not practicing potentially all of this week or next week due to a heel injury is a slight concern to me, and I would probably bump him down a little bit maybe after a guy like Brandon Cooks, who is being picked number 15 overall for the receivers, or even a guy like Kenny Galladay or Chris Godwin, who I like quite a bit and are rising in the rankings. I might be a little bit more cautious about drafting Amari Cooper, but his status overall, if he's completely healthy, is not debatable. I think he's a huge facet in the Cowboys' offense. It should be a guy that you can depend on as a wide receiver 1 or wide receiver 2. But again, depends on health, and that's why I always suggest try to draft as late as you can in the fantasy season so some of the stuff gets worked out beforehand. Now, I don't have the luxury of doing that, so I have to kind of guess and figure out where his value might be. And that's where I'm a little bit more concerned about drafting him over some of the other names I mentioned.
Talking with Joe Bartle over at RotoWire, does fantasy football for them. Joe, another guy, Ezekiel Elliott, probably the number 1, number 2 running back in the league, depending on where you think him and Saquon Barkley are. What do you think about Ezekiel Elliott? Let's assume he plays this season, doesn't hold out. They get the contract done. Where do you rank him in running backs this year?
Oh, if Zeke plays, to me, I think he's the number one fantasy running back. And it's interesting you bring up Saquon Barkley. Most people would say Saquon is the number one fantasy running back, and I probably wouldn't argue with you. In fact, there's four right now being considered among the top overall picks: Saquon Barkley, Zeke, Alvin Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey. And in any format, PPR standard, you can make a reasonable argument that they should be taken number one. Now, I think Zeke probably has the best situation out of all those guys, given how important he is to the offense, and compared to Saquon, how good the offense actually is. I mean, you look at the skill position with players for the Giants, aside from maybe Evan Ingram, I'm not sure there's really a quality guy among that Giants receiving core, and certainly the quarterback play is less than desirable. That, to me, makes it a little bit concerned about drafting Saquon Barkley, despite how high of a talent he is overall, and I certainly think he is one of the better running backs in the NFL. He's just going to be facing eight or nine men in the box, I think, quite often. That's difficult for anybody, even a guy like Barkley's caliber. So if Zeke's contract situation is figured out, he is, in my opinion, the number one fantasy back right now. That being said, I'm a little bit skeptical about the contract. I assume he's also going to be signing or at least playing a portion of this season. But of the guys that are holding out right now, I think he actually has more leverage than a guy like Melvin Gordon. And I wouldn't be surprised. He seems just a little bit temperamental that maybe he ends up pushing that holdout a little bit longer into the regular season, really forced Jerry Jones' hand a little bit because the Cowboys have Super Bowl aspirations. And we know how Jerry Jones is very aggressive in trying to win the Super Bowl for the Cowboys. I'm a little bit concerned. As of right now, he's my number five receiver, but if he signed his contract tomorrow, he's back in training camp. Number five running back. But if he were to sign a contract right now, I think he is by far the number one running back in fantasy for me this season.
Another team with Super Bowl aspirations, since near and dear to many Arkansas fans' hearts because of how close it is the Kansas City Chiefs. They lose to Tom Brady and the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship last year. Heartbreaker and OT. Let's start out with Patrick Mahomes, the sensation, the rookie, the guy that was doing it all last year. What do you think about this year? Does he have a sophomore slump, Joe?
No, I think Mahomes is a fantastic talent, and for him, the player to have a slump, we're talking like maybe 30 touchdowns, which for most quarterbacks is like still a very, very good solid season. I don't know if he repeats the 50 plus touchdowns and 5,000 receiving yards again. So there's going to be some regression, but he was a historically efficient quarterback last season. Regression is more than likely going to happen regardless. That doesn't mean he's going to have a slump. So if he throws 45 plus touchdowns and maybe 4,500 yards, well, that's not nearly the type of numbers you put for his MVP season, that's still probably going to be the fantasy quarterback number one overall. That being said, I think it's difficult to just project touchdowns and receiving yards despite his influence in the offense and how great of a talent he is. We just haven't seen that happen repeatedly in NFL history before. It makes me a little hesitant to say, yes, I'm going to invest a second or third round pick, which is where he's currently going in 10, 12, and 14 team leagues in standard format. But again, if it's a 6 point per touchdown passing league, then I feel more comfortable taking Mahomes in the second or third round just because he's going to have such a significant value over some of his contemporaries of the position.
One of the biggest offseason storylines in the NFL was Mr. Tyreek Hill. He will play this season. How much of the off-the-field issues that he had do you think will impact his on-the-field play this year?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to have that much of an impact. The fact that the NFL already came out ahead of time and said he's not going to be suspended at all for any allegations. Right now, all we can assume is that that's going to happen, right? Like, unless other information pops up that says, oh, he is, or whatever else, that he was more or less confirmed to have done what was recorded on tape, then we have to worry about that. But until then, with the information we have currently, it doesn't seem like anything is going to affect him on the field. As a result, he's probably a top seven wide receiver. I've seen him go early at the back end of the first round on drafts, and that's probably a little bit early for me. I'll take Mike Evans, Antonio Brown over him, and that's probably about it. Hill is among one of the best receivers in the NFL in a fantastic offense, and I think it's really hard for him to just completely fall out of the second round in drafts. And that's where, if you were drafting early and you were assuming Tyreek Hill was going to have no suspension whatsoever, which felt like that was going to be impossible at the time, you got tremendous value with him and his current ADP. Right now, mid-second round is probably where I'd feel comfortable taking him over guys like Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen.
So we saw some studs out of Oklahoma and Kyler Murray and Hollywood Brown. They're in the NFL this year. I'm curious to your take first. Let's go Kyler Murray. Do you think he has a season worthy to be drafted? And then two, how do you think Hollywood Brown does as a rookie this year?
Yeah, Murray in particular, I don't even know if he has to have a season worth drafting. He's going to be drafted now, whether he's a QB1 for a lot of people or a QB2 in 10, 12, or 14 team leagues. That's where it becomes debatable. For me, he's not a starting quarterback in a 12-team league yet. I need to see them afield. Not so much I need to see Kyler Murray, but I need to see him behind what I think is a porous Cardinals offensive line and in an offense like Cliff Kingsbury's that we really haven't seen in the NFL before. History suggests that at least a new offense in that first year is successful. It's kind of years 2, 3, 4, you know, the Chip Kelly model that where we see the NFL adapt to it and is able to change it and make it less efficient. But at least in year one, I imagine Kyler Murray will do just fine when it comes to the fantasy aspect of it. He's going to be throwing a lot. He's going to be throwing often. And I think as a result, he's probably a top 12 fantasy quarterback alone without really seeing anything in the preseason thus far. Now, it's quite possible that his rushing totals make him a top 5 quarterback. Think like maybe a little bit less to what Cam Newton's MVP numbers were. Like I think that's entirely in the realm of possibility. It's also entirely possible that he has the rookie slumps that we see from a lot of different quarterbacks and maybe ends up falling out of top 15. And if that's the case where he's currently going undrafted, it makes me a little hesitant to invest the price. I'm sure Kyler Murray's going to do just fine and he'll be somewhere in the middle of the pack. But where he's currently drafted, I think the ceiling doesn't quite match what I believe the floor could be for Kyler. So I'm not interested in acquiring him. I know a lot of different people are, and we actually, as RotoWire, the company, are probably higher on Kyler Murray than the industry as a whole. And I think says a lot because we have a lot of smart people doing projections and whatnot here. I'm just not among that group. I am a little bit interested in Hollywood Brown. I think Marquise is going to be, as long as he's healthy, a pretty good fit for the Ravens offense overall. And I think Lamar Jackson could actually have top 5 fantasy quarterback potential to the point where he's one of the tremendous values at that quarterback position. Yeah, I understand what we see as a runner. I get it. And I really hope that the Ravens, if they're smart, utilize him as a passer. Because I think he's a quarterback, not just an athlete at the quarterback position, but a quarterback overall. And if that's the case, somebody has to benefit from Lamar Jackson throwing. And I think Hollywood Brown might be the biggest beneficiary of it. But again, he has to be healthy. And we're kind of seeing him throwing that way in the preseason. I want to see it on the field. I want to see it in the game. But it's possible where his current ADP is, which is like around 14, 15, 16, that he could bring tremendous value if everything goes right for Lamar Jackson as a passer.
Talking with Joe Bartle of RotoWire, a little fantasy football. Joe, we're just mentioned two rookies, a guy in Kyler Murray playing quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, and a guy in Marquise Hollywood Brown playing wide receiver out for the Baltimore Ravens. What are some other rookies that stand out to you in 2019 that could have a pretty good year?
Yeah, this is a lower class of rookies when it comes to fantasy than I've seen in a little bit, or at least in quite a while. Josh Jacobs' profiles is probably the best one if you're in a dynasty format. And just drafting rookies, I think he's probably the number one overall pick. His role in the Raiders offense should be pretty set. Like, he seems like the workhorse. The draft capital that the Raiders invested would suggest that he's also the workhorse. So going in the third round currently feels fine for me. I hope that he gets a few more options as a receiver than we really saw in Alabama. But if nothing else, he's set as a runner to the point where I feel comfortable taking him in the third round, third or fourth round in most drafts. And that goes for whether it's a PPR or standard format. After that, though, maybe N'Keal Harry for the Patriots. And even then, he's been banged up throughout the preseason where I'm not sure he has a lot of great looks with the Patriots overall and with Tom Brady in particular. So really, I've been going after a guy like Marquise Brown as my second receiver and really the number two guy besides the quarterbacks as a fantasy option. But it's a little bit difficult. I'm not really in on Montgomery from the Bears. I think that Mike Davis could end up splitting some time with him. And while I love Darrell Henderson, I don't know how much of an influence he'll have in the offense if Todd Gurley is healthy. That's probably one of the biggest questions when it comes to fantasy right now is Todd Gurley's health and what his impact will be on the Rams offense. But I think right now we have to assume he'll be, for the most part, healthy. And if that's the case, Henderson probably is relegated to more of the Latavius Murray role compared to like Alvin Kamara, what we saw with Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara past season.
So who's your dead lock, surefire guy you absolutely want on your roster this season?
Oh, man, there's a couple. I have a lot of shares of Lamar Jackson, but it's more so based off his ADP. Now, I do think he could be a top 5 fantasy quarterback this year, but I'm not willing to, you know, completely bet on it. So where he's going right now in rounds 13 or 14 as a QB2 for most people, yeah, I'll gladly take that with the highest upside possible that you're getting. I really like Damien Williams, too, for the Chiefs. I think while Andy Reid might have scared some off with that backfield by committee talk, for me, I'm entirely convinced that he's going to be the main carry guy and main target guy out of the backfield for the Chiefs, and I want as many shares as I can of different players in that offense, whether it be Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes or Damian Williams. The other running back that I seem to be acquiring quite a bit is Kerryon Johnson of the Lions. This is, again, based more off of ADP right now or his average draft position as a third or fourth round running back. But the Lions seem to be gravitating more to the running offense oriented overall. And he, despite not playing an entire season, really got close to 1,000 rushing yards. And if his touchdown floor gets any higher or his receiving total gets higher and Theo Riddick was released, he should be a top 10 fantasy running back and I think probably a first round pick next year if you were to do drafts in 2020. I really believe in Kerryon Johnson. I think he's probably one of the best values at the running back position based on his ADP.
RotoWire's Joe Bartel joining me now talking fantasy football. Joe, we just mentioned a couple guys in Kerryon Johnson and then Lamar Jackson who are kind of obscure picks, but you like them to have pretty successful fantasy years. What about the guy or guys that everyone else seems to be buying this year that you're like, no, man, I'm not touching them?
I wrote in the RotoWire magazine, which we did probably back or released in June, and we did the draft for it back in May. Nick Chubb, his ADP at the time was probably in the first seven or eight picks, and I thought that was incredibly high with Duke Johnson in the backfield and Kareem Hunt coming back in week 10 and Odell Beckham and David Njoku and Jarvis Landry. There was just so many mouths to feed in Cleveland's offense that I was a little bit uncomfortable. Well, now the Browns trade Duke Johnson. I think he's actually going to be a really good value on the Texans and should be the starter over Lamar Miller. It might not happen week one, but I wouldn't be surprised by weeks four or five. Duke Johnson's the main guy there. As a result, I think Chubb is probably closer to appropriately valued at his middle of the second round ADP currently. I still have some reservations, though, at least from a compensatory pick side of things. Once Kareem Hunt comes back in week 10, the Browns have every incentive to try to encourage him to sign a contract with somebody else next season where they're going to get a third or fourth or fifth round pick back if he ends up signing a big deal. The only way Kareem Hunt signs a big deal is if he gets a lot of carries, or at least some. And I would be surprised if we see a bit of a timeshare. Now, 10 weeks is 10 weeks, right? Like, you could have your fantasy playoffs almost set by them, or at least your position set by them, when you have a guy like Nick Chubb. I still feel more comfortable getting a Melvin Gordon or Joe Mixon or Dalvin Cook, or even Todd Gurley, which are all going right around on the same spot, or even after Nick Chubb. And that's where I just haven't been able to get him compared to some of the other guys at the position. So he's probably somebody I'm fading quite a bit. Another running back, Kenyon Drake, I have absolutely no part in right now. And I've been probably the loudest detractor from Kenyon Drake than I think anybody in any of my fantasy colleagues right now. It should say something that he was benched for 35-year-old Frank Gore last season for a Dolphins offense that wasn't all that good. And now we're seeing Kalen Ballage also starting or sharing time with Kenyon Drake. Oh, and by the way, he has injuries. And, oh, by the way, he wasn't really the starter at Alabama as well. It just has me really concerned. And I get there's different front offices and different coaching staffs for the Dolphins. But why are three different organizations or three different main leaders of an organization all identifying Kenyon Drake as not the lead back, but a guy that shares time with somebody? To me, that's a head scratcher for somebody that's going in the fourth or fifth round in drafts. And he's fallen a little bit with injuries, but it's to the point where it's still way too high for me to be investing any shares in Kenyon Drake. I think people are making a huge mistake drafting him even in rounds seven or earlier.
Joe, for those who don't play fantasy football, what is your headlining convincing argument to get them on board?
It gets you invested in players and teams that you would not otherwise be invested in. Now, we're based in Madison, Wisconsin, so here it's Packerland through and through. I would not watch a Lions game unless you really put a gun to my head. But with Kerryon Johnson on a lot of my different teams, I am more invested in the Lions offense overall. And I like to see what Matthew Stafford or Kenny Galladay or Kerryon Johnson is going to do. I just despise watching the Vikings, especially in their home stadium, but I definitely am more interested in their games overall when we're seeing Stephon Diggs and you have an Adam Thielen chair or two out there, or you're wondering if Dalvin Cook's value was representative. It makes a difference in a lot of different assets when you're watching and following teams. I also think back to, I think, 2 years ago when those Monday night games were just dreadful. Like, think Bengals versus Dolphins and both backup quarterbacks ran and you had to listen to Jason Witten or somebody else try to monologue their way through an entire game. And it was just awful. The only saving grace for those types of games, and there are certainly them on the schedule for national TV when it comes to Thursday night, Sunday night, or Monday night games, is having your fantasy players and seeing them do well. So that's my biggest sell to a lot of people, is that you might be invested in one team or one college or one player, But fantasy football gets you invested in much more and gets you more into the game. And I think we all love football overall, and that's why, one of the reasons why we are interested in fantasy.
All right, Joe, last question for you. Outside of fantasy, you mentioned where you're located right now, Madison, Wisconsin. My buddy Nard lives up there. He's told us it's a good time. I mean, there's a big state school up there, a lot of cute college girls. What's Madison like to live? Where do I need to go eat? Where do I need to go drink? Just tell us about it.
Yeah, State Street every Saturday is just basically booked off. While the state of Wisconsin, I would say, is primarily Packer country, Madison in particular is Badgers and Badgers everything, whether it be football, basketball, men's hockey, women's hockey. It doesn't really matter. Whatever collegiate sport is going on, they don't have to be doing well. It's one of the biggest things when it comes to being in Madison. So you basically have to plan accordingly every Saturday when the Badgers are in town, that you can't drive at all, or at least expect to add about an hour onto your drive schedule, because there are so many tailgating parties going on or people walking around in the streets and everything else. It really is a big party atmosphere, and I think that's a selling point for a lot of people when it comes to coming to UW-Madison and being a part of that culture. But even just living in Madison overall, it really is one of the more fun towns that I've been in when it comes to college football in particular, or just college sports overall. I can't say enough good things about what Madison does and how they really represent the right parts about college sports.
Joe Bartle, rotowire.com, fantasy football. Get all your info from him. And is it JC Fantasy Sports? Is that your Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow me at JB Fantasy Sports. I do talk about how many five or six drafts I have next week. I will be live tweeting, or at least discussing a few of them. Certainly, if you have any lineup questions overall, I've been definitely helping users now for a couple of years, and I'll be glad to give you any rundown that I can for your lineups and help the best that I can.
Again, it's a Fantasy Football Friday here on ESPN Arkansas. We're going to be doing this the rest of the way. Joe, thanks for the time, man.
Yeah, no problem.